meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. What do we used to say? Not TG...
IFF?
No. Thank God it's almost Friday.
Almost
TGIAF.
TGIAF. Oh, yeah.
Thank God it's almost Friday.
Sorry, honey, anyway. It's Thursday.
I think of sorry, honey.
Right.
Who says that?
Yeah. One of the sisters.
Oh, yeah.
One of the nuns. Sorry, honey, it's Thursday.
Anyway.
Because the other one thought it was Friday already, that's why.
All right. So, where are we going to go today?
Where are we going today?
See, I think, well, I have a lot on my mind.
I can imagine.
It's a good place to start.
A lot that I'd like to say. I just have to be prudent, be careful.
Yeah. You know, people are lucky that I'm working in the church.
Why is that?
Because many times I bite my tongue.
Yeah.
You have to be careful. We
it's
have to be prudent.
It's funny how you have to learn to do that.
Yeah, I can't say, we can't be free to say what we really want to say. So we have to be prudent.
Yeah, prudent.
Yes.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
That we all need
yes.
to exercise, that's
yes.
for sure. Yeah.
But sometimes you just really, you get so, you know, you're angry or you're just, you get frustrated.
It's a righteous anger.
Yeah.
In some cases it is. In some cases it's self-righteous. Mm-hmm. Not in your case, but.
That's right.
You know, but it's just, you know, there's just civil discourse, civil dialogue is so hard today because there's this hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, never in my life, my long life, ever felt such division as I do now. Division in the nation, politically speaking, division in the church, in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it just kind of parallels what's going on in the nation. The right, the left. For me, it's not about being right or left. It's about being right, you know, to be right, to be correct. But it's not about... this extreme or that extreme, but it's really, you know, what does God want? What is the will of God? What is truth? You know, the quest for truth. And, you know, you really, I go back to the reading, and now I don't remember if it was Ezekiel or if it was Jeremiah, but it was one of the prophets. I have a feeling it was Ezekiel. And the prophet said, God speaking to the prophet, that separate from the rebellious and go as if in exile, but remain in the covenant. And from that place, you know, that the Lord intends to do work through his people for the sake of correction, salvation, sanctification of those who have deviated or gone away from truth or away from the covenant. And even to say that, you know, so I have to, and this is part of the discernment or the I'm using the word discernment, but it's more than a discernment, but it's bringing myself into prayer and asking the Lord to guide me, to show me, to not let me get in the way, because I have that tendency. And so even as I start the show and I say, you know, I just, there's a lot I want to say, but I just don't know if it's me grinding an axe or my own reacting to
certain things
that, you know, I have a certain quirks within me that, and at the same time, trying to understand, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt and try to understand where they're coming from, or, you know, just it's basically, you know, entering into civil discourse. Now, what am I talking about? I guess I'm talking about morality. I'm talking about the dogmas of the church, what the church teaches, and yes, of course, how that's reflected and lived in the society, in a society that seemingly has no regard for God, or at least not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. I don't know, but I'll tell you the thing that I'm dealing with right now, at this moment, is a frustration with the upcoming youth synod.
So they're still, it's still taking place?
Oh, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are those who have asked for it to be canceled because of the crisis in the church, because we are really suffering a crisis of leadership. And yes. See, I think it's hard for Catholics to say that, because we're conditioned to be respectful, to be obedient, almost to be submissive to the authorities, you know, to the Pope and the bishops and the priests, the deacons. And but when you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you've been deceived or duped or toyed with or manipulated, or you're not being heard, then it creates suspicion and a lack of trust. And I find that's where I'm just going to be honest. You know, that's where I'm a priest. You know, that's where I feel I am right now. There was an interview yesterday with CBS. They were dealing with the, I'm sorry, everybody, we're dealing again with the scandals, but I mean, it really begs some deeper questions and deeper responses, I think. So it really has everything to do with who we are, our faith, our identity.
And a lot of people are very angry.
And
they're
a lot
upset.
Of people. You
they're
do, upset. You hear that yourself.
Yes, every day.
Every day.
And new things are coming and they're going to come up.
It's going to continue to happen.
It's going to continue to happen, and people are very upset and they want answers and they want the church to clean its act up.
Yeah,
that's what they're. I have to say it.
Well, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're in need of a major reform.
Sure.
But the leadership has to acknowledge that. And so I think that's the frustration. Is they give lip service to it, but they're not acknowledging it.
So this is
where I want to be. Yeah, I can only be open and honest about this. As a priest, I'm extremely frustrated and really there's a deep anger as well, and I'm trying to understand this from many different levels. But I was listening to a CBS interview. Somebody sent it to me. It was like a town hall, but not even a town hall meeting. It was a panel of people, Catholics in Pennsylvania. So there might have been a dozen, and the interviewer, I forgot who it was, just wanted to have a discussion with them. You know, how are they responding? What is this doing to their faith? What is their take on the gravity of the situation with the abuse and the cover-ups? And of course, you know, the anger, as you said, the anger is there. Many are struggling with maintaining faith, mm-hmm. staying in the church,
sure.
They've lost, for the most, in fact, I think to a T, they've lost faith in the bishops, and in some cases even the Pope.
The Pope, the cardinals.
Yeah. And the priest. And one lady said, and I wanted to get your take on this. What do you think about this? Although I've been speaking about this, but she said, and I'm asking the same question. She said, where are the priests? She said, where are they? This is their life. This is their, she used the word, I think, profession.
Mm-hmm.
This is their profession. This is their life, their identity. Where are they? Why aren't they loudly speaking out on this? What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of obvious why priests don't speak out.
Why?
For retaliation.
I have, well, look you what's know? Happening. So it just happened, what, yesterday?
What
that
happened?
Priest that was saying that he was going to burn that flag, and he got reprimanded.
Right.
How many other priests who are great priests who are traditional, and they've been taken out? That's why. That's, you know what? That is disgusting. I mean, that people are disgusted with that. You're attacking the good priest and covering up the bad ones. That's what people are really teed off.
That's the perception. I hear the anger in your voice.
No, I'm angry about that. I'm like, you know what? This is nonsense.
Well, it's like that, too. You think about even the people, and I get this myself, you know, if you keep being that one that keeps alerting, hey, look what's going on here, taking the opportunity to maybe write, you know, your supervisor. And if nobody's listening, you get to a point where it's like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
Now, if you take it to the extreme and want to do certain things to force an issue, is that retaliation? It's part of a, I don't want to say hierarchy, but there are channels. It's almost like if you're at a job, you can't be the one to do what you want to do. There's your supervisor, there's the person on top of him. But you look at it, just the way you said that, first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, how many good priests are now suffering because of what's going on? And again, if it's a few of them, people aren't looking at the bad priests are now in the spotlight, but it's priests in general. So, you know, it's like one bad apple spoils all of the bunch. And there's still very good people that, okay, they're guilty by association in a sense.
Sure.
Everybody has to look at you and say, well, is he one of them? You know, but again, I think it really comes down to, and I'm angry too. And I look at, and I attribute this to you. I've been in church every Sunday. I know where you stand on things, and I agree a lot of what you say, not only because it's your personal, because it's not really not your personal. You speak the truth of the scripture every Sunday. So I look at this and I say, okay, here's a priest, and I'm talking of you, who's grounded. But I think of all those others that are not. And it's not a matter of, hey, you're not and I am. It's a matter of, look at me. This is what we should be doing. That's why a lot of your insights I've been taking as my way of understanding, you know, and calming and understanding my anger. It's just that it amazes me that there are good priests that, again, and I feel deep in my heart, eventually, if you don't get in line with what we're saying in the hierarchy, then, you know, I might not have a need for you. And again, I think that's a long way of saying that. I think that's why sometimes I think there's good priests that are not really making. You can't make the waves because you're going to get looked at.
It's this voice. Go ahead.
No, and people are angry, and many people are asking that question.
Yeah.
Why are you, and again, I'm going to repeat it, the good priests that come out and just speak out because they're fed up with the nonsense get reprimanded, their faculties are taken away.
Yeah.
They're asking for these cardinals and bishops who covered up for their resignation. That's what people are calling for. They're calling that to happen. And I know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're asking the question, how about these priests that were great priests and were taken out of the church? They cannot, exercise their priestly.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I don't know how many instances there.
But some people are asking that. How come? And they've been asking, and their questions are not being answered.
Let me just say, before we take a break, I think that because I'm trying to wrap my head around this as well. You know, it's one thing. You know, I've got the freedom to speak about this on the radio, and I shouldn't say I apologize for keep coming back to this topic, but it's that we're all affected by it. Not just a priest.
Mm-hmm. It's not like things are changing. They're getting changing for the worse.
Because they're not addressing this in an honest way.
They're not, no.
And this is, I think, the absolutely the frustration.
Of many.
The need, you know, to admit that we have a deep need for a reform. There's got to be we should be taking very seriously holiness of life.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say, you know, that I was really moved by that woman who said, "Where are the priests? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they?" And there are those who are speaking out, but as you said, I'm asking myself as well. Number one, yes, we are under authority.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, for instance, I'm a pastor of a parish. I have to safeguard the parish and the people of this parish.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, we're the institution is such that that in an instant, at the snap of a finger, somebody can be taken out of. If I say something that somebody doesn't like in authority, I could be ousted out of the parish in an instant.
Sure.
You know?
And that's where the people are angry. And I'm talking about people from all over the world, nation. That's what they're saying. They're angry about that. They're saying there's no credibility. Like you said, there's no credibility. So right now, they don't have, they don't trust the hierarchy. They don't trust.
And
that's what they're saying.
And many of us feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why, you know, we've got to, this is a moment of great grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult, very painful moment in the life of the church. Maybe one of the most grave situations we've been in 2,000 years, you know, or certainly it's right up there with the time of the Reformation, or the time of the split between the East and the West, certainly with the time of the Empire, Roman Empire, as it was coming down. But so I think, you know, that's one thing is that we are under authority, and we should be. But if the authority is not duplicitous and serious about really shepherding the people, I don't know. Is it power? Is it the prestige of the office? Is it the need to feel that one has to protect the institution over and above the victims, those who have been deeply wounded by this? And you've got those who are directly wounded, but then you've got the faith of the people that has been shaken. So there's you don't know, but
I think it's a combination of everything.
But I also want to say that I think the other thing is, this is a time for all the priests, especially because we're the shepherds, you know, we're under the microscope. And sometimes it feels like there's all of a sudden this witch hunt. And we want the church to be purged of predators, people who have committed grave sacrilege, or people who use the church for their own gain, or find a place of refuge in the church to perpetuate their own evil deeds. And even if it's not the abuse of innocent people, children, it this opens up the door to a wide variety of areas that are in need of reform.
Mm-hmm.
The lifestyle, the that there's a proper asceticism,
mm-hmm.
that priests are taking seriously the life, the call to holiness,
mm-hmm.
that priests are truly at the service of the church, not only the people of the church, but also the dogmas, the teachings of the church, the commandments of God, the all this. Then there's the other thing is priests. I say it's a time for soul searching because none of us are perfect,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, that old, and it's kind of drum, not maybe not in everybody, but certainly some of us have a real sensitivity to, I say this so often, but a sensitivity to God and to things sacred and a sensitivity to sin. And the words of Jesus when he says, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. And so we're very much aware of our own deviations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about grave deviations, but that where we've faltered or we've been inconsistent or we've, you know, people go through their lifelong journey. They have to go through ups and downs and peaks and valleys, and there's this, you've got to have the courage or the ability or the grace, really, the grace, but with that mm-hmm. comes courage and humility to walk through the desert to the dark of night. And if that hasn't been part of your formation, then when you're in the desert, which means, you know, there's the spiritual aridity, the dryness, or you're in the dark where you can't see, you can't perceive where God is in the moment, in this time in one's life, then, you know, it's easy to succumb to the enticement mm-hmm. of the seduction of the enemy. And again, what are the enemies of the soul? But it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so, unfortunately, I think part of the problem is really poor and faulty formation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I go back to that era because I entered the seminary in 1976. I was ordained a priest in 1984. But that was a very difficult time in the whole in society.
Mm-hmm.
And society has conformed to the ideologies mm-hmm. of the day. Well, because we're in the world, we're not. We talked about this the other day. We're in the world, but not of the world. But we're still affected by the world. And if we haven't been formed properly in the nature of spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, spiritual combat, if we are not formed in that, if it's just about, you know, being a good guy, a friendly guy, a nice guy, serving the people, then, you know, in this priestly consecration, it's easy in the beginning when, you know, I wrote in one of my commentaries, you know, everybody loves a newly ordained priest,
mm-hmm.
you know. He's received as a king, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the time of his ordination. But that wears off very quickly.
It's like the honeymoon's over.
Exactly, absolutely.
It's like in a marriage.
like
in any, with anything.
I had written mm-hmm. reflections on my 25 mm-hmm. years as a priest, and this man came to me and said, you know, this is just perfect for people in marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have mm-hmm. to, so the point I'm making is that in the course of one's lifelong journey, mm-hmm. one has to keep recommitting.
Yeah.
We have to repeat over and over our yes to Almighty God. And I've shared with you this experience I had. I mean, I'm 63 years old, so I'm about 34 years a priest. So I've been through a lot
mm-hmm.
internally in an interior, the interior quest for God, the search for God. And, you know, as I look back, there are many, many, many times, I mean, very serious times when I really wanted to walk away
mm-hmm.
Because I just, you know, I didn't want this. The honeymoon was over, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the even coming here and,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, Jesus, who is present to us in the Eucharist, was seemingly absent. And that was my sustenance. That was my consolation. That was my strength. And so to go to prayer before the Blessed Sacrament and to find nothing, no one, and then you find yourself in a very difficult situation in the parish where you're dealing with, number one, I couldn't speak the language. I'm having to learn the language. And it was at that time only working with the Spanish-speaking people, and I couldn't even speak the language, so I felt totally diminished, incompetent. Even though it was a challenge that I welcomed, it was very debilitating to me as well. And then the devil works on you in a wide variety of ways, too. You know, you get older and you think, my God, okay, now the possibility, the reality that, you know, I'm not going to have a marriage or children or whatever. You know, you knew that when you were going through formation, but it comes in waves, you know. But there's so many things. And then, of course, you know, you're trying to understand the nature of celibacy and chastity, but you live in a world that is saturated with sex, and it's everywhere. Yeah. And not only is it just everywhere, but it's everything is so normalized, and so the green light to do anything and everything, and you're dealing with your own humanity, and you say, my God, I'm a man. I've got the same urges and feelings that everybody else has, you know. So certainly God gives the grace.
Sure.
Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be able to, you know, we would despair.
Sure.
But you got to wrestle with that. You got to fight that battle. And it's, you know, so I don't know how to, in a freely open way to speak about that, but I think people have to understand why perhaps it's very difficult for priests as well to confront the issue. Not that, and we're not talking about predator priests or priests who, you know, we're talking about priests that are very sincere and very deeply desirous of living this consecration in union with Christ and in service to the people of God. And yet, you know, we have to meet with all kinds of challenges. And then the Lord, as biblically we know, in order to bring us to deeper faith, He brings us through the desert to bring us into deeper faith. He'll bring us into the dark night of the soul, and that happens at different junctures in the journey. And those are times, just like when Jesus went into the desert, right? He was tempted by the devil, you know, three times. It's Jesus. He didn't succumb. We're not Jesus, you know, but yes, the Lord is with us, within us. And if we're not, if we don't safeguard our lives from the world or the flesh or the devil, you know, we can easily succumb, as most people would understand in their own personal lives, right? But I remember when I went to that priest, and I had mentioned this before some time ago, but I was in a very, very, very bad space, and I just felt that God was done with me. He wanted nothing more from me. He withdrew from me his affection, his desire for me to be one of his emissaries, one of his soldiers, you know, and that I was no longer in the company of his inner circle, you know. And you need to be there. You want to be there because it's from there that you know, you understand the mission that's been entrusted to you. And so when you feel that all this is gone away. To make a long story short, I went to a priest and I said, you know, God is done with me. He's through. And the priest said, He's not done with you. He's only beginning with you. He says he killed his own son. You've got to die. And that's all I needed to hear. When I asked him about that because I wanted to include it in the book. He said, well, don't say that I said God killed his own son, that he allowed his son to suffer the passion. But he did say, you know, God killed him. And I understood what he was meaning. In other words, you have to die. You know, the Lord is purging your life in order to transform and sanctify you. So, you know, when you're ordained a priest, you're not just automatically, you're never flying high. But you've got to enter into this this lifelong journey that is a journey of purgation, transformation, and sanctification. Now, if you haven't been formed in that reality, and in our days we were not.
See, I think it's not only you priests that were not formed, but even us parishioners. Absolutely. If you don't have a priest that's forming you, then again, and that's what is it by with Scripture, with, you know, keeping you close to Him.
Well, that's why I said, you know, the laity mm-hmm. who have been submissive, mm-hmm. obedient, and complicit, while others, professors and priests and bishops and religious, set out to, and I say this because I experienced it and you have too, when we set back as our sanctuaries were mutilated, our mm-hmm. faith was dumbed down, mm-hmm. our liturgies were transformed or deformed into kind of these like love fests. Mm-hmm. It became all about, you know, the people. You know, I say this is a time when I hope we can say, collectively speaking, at least some of us, mm-hmm. not everybody, and I'll get back to that after we come back from the break, but, you know, we're going to take back what was taken away from us. Mm-hmm. And there's still this powerful, powerful force that is trying to continue to take away from us basically the faith of our fathers, the sacred sacrificial character of our liturgy, the mass, trying to tempt us away from the nature of our consecration, whether it be priestly, religious, or baptismal confirmation or consecration, which is, as we heard last Sunday in the gospel, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and follow. It's a narrow path. It's a difficult path. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to lose yourself. You deny yourself in order to find, you lose yourself in order to find Jesus. You die to yourself so that He live, and in Him you have life. This is a lifelong process. But if we're going to try to live the faith or befriend the world with a softer kind of a religion, then it's not going to work. And I think what's happening today, I know it's what's happening, and this is where there's this big division within the church, is there are those and many in authority who are trying to lead us down a path that is not, it's foreign to the church. Mm-hmm. But it's an accommodation to the world. So I think this crisis, this priestly crisis, the predators and the homosexuality, which they still don't want to admit to, that this is the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. If we're not going to address these issues, then the reform's not going to happen. But I think this crisis is causing many of us to, as I say, search our soul and to say, okay, this is symptomatic of other things that are going on and have been going on in the life of the church. And I realize, honestly, that any kind of transitional time, so from the Second Vatican Council, when good changes were made, were often deformed and, or rather perverted, or taken out of, completely out of context, or used to perpetuate other agendas, that, you know, we've suffered the consequences. But no, you know, we've got to wake up. Anyway, I got to take a break. That's what we got to do. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll just continue with this conversation. I hope you're with me, at least trying to follow or understand what we're trying to say. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer. before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to a special observance of the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's Humanae Vitae.
Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. in the St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois. Humanae Vitae 50 Years is open to all and proudly sponsored by Two Hearts Catholic Gifts and Books. Here, Father Loya, help us discover the truth and beauty in this prophetic writing of Pope Paul VI. Join Father Loya for Humanae Vitae 50 Years at St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois, Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. On Saturday night, October 6th, from 7 until 9, at St. Stanislaus Kostka, Father Angel Espinoza will give a special talk on the urgent need to train your children in the seven fields of true education. The talk will be in Spanish. Here's Cristina to tell you more.
El sábado 6 de octubre de 2018, en las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, la parroquia de San Estanislao Kostka y el Padre Ángel Espinosa los invitan a una conferencia sobre cómo les estamos enseñando a nuestros hijos la fe. ¿Estamos enseñando la fe popular y nada más por encima? ¿O realmente estamos enseñándoles a vivir la fe de una manera profunda, a practicarla diariamente en su vida? Regístrate y compra tu boleto de $30 en la página del web www.ststanschurch.org. El cupo es limitado, solo se venderán 5 boletos por persona. Para más información, favor de llamar a la parroquia al 773-278-2470, de nuevo 773-278-2470. De nuevo el sábado 6 de octubre del 2018, de las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, en la iglesia de San Estanislao Kostka, ubicada al 1327 Norte de la Noble en Chicago. Los esperamos.
For complete information and ticket purchase information, go to ststandschurch.org and click on the events tab.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, you know, so let me kind of veer off into what I was reflecting on this morning. There's a lot of things, to be honest, but I just think that today, and I'll be very honest about this, and you kind of alluded to it, Cristina, but I think the hierarchy from the Pope, and I have utmost and deep respect for the office of the papacy. I have to. How could I not? I'm a Catholic. And for the bishops, deep respect for the office of priest. This is all necessary for the life of the church. But, you know, this is where we cannot, if we perceive, and this is, you know, something that's been going on for a long time, and the scandals aside, it just, again, for me, what it does is it brings up a lot of other things that where you've been obedient, you've been submissive, and in that sense, in a way, complicit, because you think, okay, well, the Spirit is working, and these are, you know, men of God, they're the shepherds. As I say, we're trained, we're formed to be obedient, to be respectful, in a sense, to be submissive. At the same time, we have a voice. Mm-hmm. And when you feel, not only that you feel it, but you know that you've been toyed with or manipulated mm-hmm. into a ideology mm-hmm. or a a new way mm-hmm. that is really contrary to your deepest core belief, which mm-hmm. is which coincides with the genuine teaching of the church. The Catechism of the Catholic mm-hmm. Church is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. But when you feel like there are forces that are that want to undermine, then there's a point where you say, you know, my voice has to be heard. And it always should be. But I think we're at a point now where what we've come to learn, it's a perception, but it's a perception that is based on too many statements or comments that have been made by the Pope, by many of the bishops. And that is, and you alluded to this, Christina, that is that somehow to be an Orthodox Catholic, that means a Catholic that absolutely not only adheres to the teachings of the church, but loves the teachings of the church because this is what's come down to us from the apostles, from Christ Jesus. And while it doesn't coincide with changes going on in the society, mm-hmm. We nonetheless stand firm in this faith, knowing that, you know, we're here to be in the world but not of the world. Mm-hmm. We love the world. We want to bring people to the faith, but we're not going to compromise or cave or accommodate the world or, you know, to appease the world that somehow maybe will be socially acceptable in the society or in the world we live in. And it seems to me that the church is really moving in that kind of a direction, a kind of accommodation. Now, I agree, and I exercise pastoral sensitivity and the virtue or the attribute of mercy because I know who I am, and I know how God has been merciful with me and how and the church, you know. But so that is first and foremost before me as I'm dealing with people in their own, struggling with their own issues or whatever. But I don't accept the fact that we are going to continue to dumb down the faith, water down the faith, or, again, this accommodation to the world in a sense that we've, we're progressing. We've got to shake the dust from our feet. This is a new time, a new era, a new world. We've got to, you know, get with the times, so to speak. And I see this is what's happening. And what bothers me is that it seems like we have no voice. And I'm talking about, and this is what goes back to what you were saying, Christina, yeah. that those of us who hold Orthodox faith are written off as narrow-minded, antiquated, bigots, hateful, just like what's going on in the political realm of our society. And so this is the frustration, is it? Because really, under the papacy of Pope Francis, he's got his own axe to grind. I say this because he's the Pope, you know, don't get me wrong. But as has been in the past, it has to be today too, that we don't assume that he's got it all right and that we have to be in this collective discernment as well, and our voices need to be heard. Now, what's happening is that we're not being listened to. In fact, we're being chided.
Yes.
Reprimanded, chided, made fun of. And this is, I don't have the quotes here, but there's a whole
list.
This has been going over for years.
And Father, and I understand that, you know, we have to be, God is merciful, and we have to be, you know, show that mercy. But this whole progressive mentality, look where it's taken us. How's that working? I'm talking about these people that with that ideology. Look where the church is at because of that progressive mentality.
I hear you. Yeah.
See, I think there's many that really believe this is the way to go. And I cannot, for the life of me, maybe it's because of my age or maybe it's because of, you know, what I know of the faith. This doesn't seem right to me. Something is wrong. When you sense something is wrong, and, you know, if you're one of those people that, okay, this is, let's see how this works. Well, we're at the point, it's the tipping point. It's way past the tipping point. This is what everybody has been doing when they look the other way. Mm-hmm. This is now the result of it, and something needs to be done. You can't just let it sit there and think that it's going to get done. There's no, that's why I want to hear from my cardinal. I want to hear from the Pope. I don't like the things I'm hearing so far. It's not right.
Yeah, I hear you. We got to take a break. Okay. We'll be back. And the Youth Synod, I started with that. I'll come back to that because this is an example of what's happening that is very frustrating, extremely frustrating. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's 1 block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I hope you're following me here. And, you know, we're trying to wrap our head around this. I'm trying to wrap my head around what's going on. And as you said, I don't know if on the radio or during a break, but this is it's a tipping point, you know, because this is affecting the faith of our faith has been shaken. People have been deeply wounded, irreparably wounded. The faith has been shaken, and the sacred identity of the church has been besmirched in a big way. And so people are indeed suffering this. People who have no regard for the church, or this could be, or who hate the church, this is a could be their heyday, you know. But for those of us who love the faith and really have no identity apart from the faith because we have life in Christ. Yes. And we're part of the mystical body. You can't separate the head from the body. And so it's very disturbing what's happening, apart from the scandals, which is, this is symptomatic of other issues or problems in the church. But as they're preparing for the synod on the youth, there's a synod that's coming up, I believe, in October, November. But already, and this is the frustration, is that it is, you know, the Pope wants this listening kind of a thing. You know, we're going to listen to the young people. But what's happening is, and this is, it's substantiated. Let me just say this. The new traditional voices among practicing Catholic youth will be utterly ignored and stifled and treated as if they don't even exist. The synod, rather than really deal with the question of faith and that we're called to this high standard to give clarity to who we are, what we believe, what are the perennial teachings of the church, it's turning into a, at least based on the document that is in preparation for this, more of a sociological, psychological, social justice. Hear from the kids. You know, we've got to put a special attention to the LGBT, whatever. You know, it's. But again, as I say, the new, because there's a lot of young people that have come to faith, deep faith. I mean, deep faith in the Eucharist, deep devotion to the Mother of God, a deep understanding of the nature of the mystical body of Christ, and they really are the leaven. I mean, if you wonder, and I was reading about this as well, highlight the pro-life movement among young people in the life of the church. They're not going to do it. Mm-mm. They're not going to do it.
Nope.
Because there's this allergic reaction to Orthodox
and
Catholics.
And it happened at the Synod of the Family.
Right.
We saw that with the African priests who are very Orthodox, the cardinals, the African cardinals. They were thrown to the side.
Written off.
Written off completely. It's upsetting.
So this is I'm just mentioning this. You know, so what it's done, what I'm doing now is and I'll share this with you tomorrow, but we're going to because this is a major, there's a major spiritual component to all this. And as I say, we are in a battle. And I was reading, I've been reading a book. In fact, I was going to read actually from my book. Maybe I'll end with the dream that I had. But we're going to, or tomorrow, maybe I'll start with that. But we're going to, in October, we're going to reconsecrate our lives here at the parish to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Good.
And try to bring people to commit to praying the rosary. For her intention, which is, you know, for the conversion, for peace. I'm taking a look at, and I hope to speak more about this in the future, but I'm looking at the apparitions over the last, actually going back to Quito, Ecuador. Very interesting. in 1634, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared. She was called Our Lady of Good Success, which really is, if you really translate that properly, it's Our Lady of Positive Outcome. But she said that in the mid-20th century, there would be this upheaval in the church and in the society. And so I want to look at that. I want to look at La Salette. We've talked about that before, Our Lady of La Salette. Very powerful, very interesting prophetic words spoken that really point again to this, the gravity of the time in which we're living now. Lourdes, Fatima, of course. I want to take a look at Our Lady of All Nations, who appeared in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I think that was in the 1950s. Akita, Japan. Very, very interesting prophetic words spoken by the Blessed Virgin. And, of course, Rwanda, Africa. I want to look at these, you know, because they're all consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a common thread that runs through it all these apparitions. And the Blessed Virgin being the mother of the church, as this is Pope John Paul II said, that she would bring about the renewal and prepare us for the coming of her son. So there's also this interest I have now in again, reading the signs of the times. Mm-hmm. You know, I always go back to what Pope Benedict said, that, you know, I was in a private audience with him, and he says, you know, you've got to exercise your prophetic office. You've got to read the signs of the times. As simple believing deeply and deeply loving the Lord and the church as Catholics, we can no longer just assume that the authorities of the church, the shepherds, have our back. In fact, this is time for fraternal correction. And we have to have the courage, and we have to have the heroism to stand up and say, no, we will take back our faith, our sacred liturgies, our dogmas, our doctrine, our catechesis. We've got to take it back. We've already watched for so many decades what has been done to us, what has happened to us. This is all due respect to authority, but authority is not above correction. And the laity are, you know, they have to exercise their prophetic and their priestly and their kingly office as well. You know, no more just be blindly obedient and submissive in that you're complicit to the forces that have been unleashed to divide and seemingly destroy the church. And of course, we know who is at the root of that, mm-hmm. but that's the devil. Mm-hmm. And this isn't to say that, you know, we're dealing with the Antichrist and the in the papacy or in the bishops, but there is this is time for fraternal correction. And we bring it to prayer. We got to bring it to prayer, but we've got to do something. We'll talk about that in the days and the weeks to come. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Joe.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.